You ever think to yourself sometimes that life just isn't fair? I'll just tell you right now, you're exactly right, but not in the way you think. Life is not fair in our favor. And I'll refer this evening, as we begin, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we find the Apostle Peter writing to Christians of his day who are in the midst of and facing and soon to face even more severe persecution, suffering, as he puts it. And I can imagine them saying, like we might say if we were in their position, this is more than we can take. This is more than we deserve. This is not fair. And yet in the context of that, Peter makes it very clear that someone suffered for them. And because of that, because he paid a debt we could not pay, because we'd owed a debt we could not pay ourselves, God in Christ paid it for us. Because of all of that, we have such abundance of blessing, though we don't deserve it. It's not fair what God did for us, and that's what makes what God did, grace. That's His mercy. And that's the demonstration of His love for us. And so let's read together 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll begin at verse number 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also once suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And so you see, Peter is talking about their problems and how they should use those problems as a platform to give a defense for what they believe and the hope they share. They should use their suffering as a platform for rejoicing in the fact they're counted worthy, as Peter would say earlier in Acts chapter 5, to suffer shame for his name. They should realize there is a blessing and a glory to suffering for doing right, unlike those who suffer for doing wrong. But above and overarching in way of contrast to all of that is what God did for us in Christ. Because any suffering that we go through is so small and so slight. When we think of what Christ has done for us. And even if by some means or measure we're able to say, well, we have suffered just as much as Jesus did. Even if that were the case, it wouldn't speak to the fact that we're suffering as those who aren't perfect and who have need to suffer in some cases. And Christ suffered for us when he, as the text just said, was the just, suffering for those of us who are so very unjust. A sinless one suffering for those of us mired, embroiled, immersed, and addicted to our sin. Turn, if you will, to number 318. 318. Let's sing together, because this speaks the very idea the passage brings forth. 318.
O sacred head, now wounded with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded. bed with thorns thine only crown. How art thou pale with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn? How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee.
As Peter speaks of the suffering of our Lord, and every first day of the week, we, as the Bible teaches, and as we're so inclined to do, take our minds back all those centuries past to the scene of Calvary, to remember there in fond reflection upon what Jesus did for us. And we can't help but remember suffering attached to that cross, because that's what sacrifice entails. That's the very epitome of what sacrifice is, suffering. But oh, what suffering was there. What suffering was his. The crown of thorns preceding it, the scourging he underwent, the shame of those mocking and blaspheming against him, even mocking him while hanging on the cross, his feet and hands being pierced. And there, and then on top of all of that, hanging between two common thieves, as himself perceived to be a common criminal. All of that suffering he went through. And as Peter puts it, he did so, the just for the unjust. But before we talk about that, notice he says he did this once. Christ also suffered once for sin. If you had been living back in the Old Testament times as one of God's people, the nation of Israel, one of the Jews, you would know from your own law that sacrifice was a main component of your religion. That animal sacrifices were so much a part of everything concerning your life, on a day-to-day basis, on an annual basis. There were sacrifices detailed throughout the book of Leviticus, for example, for various infractions of different kinds of wrongdoing, for different sins. You'd have a different kind of sacrifice, and the priest would oversee this. And then, perchance, something had been lost or some lapse had been had, and every year, on an annual basis, in the Holy of Holies, the high priest would offer a sacrifice of atonement for all the people. The problem with that, as the writer of Hebrews reflects for us, is not just that it was done by men who themselves were fallible, and that a high priest wasn't perfect in the offering of the sacrifice, but it was the fact these sacrifices had to be made year by year continually. We sometimes, for lack of a better way to put it, talk about these sins being rolled forward from one year to the next. I'm not sure if that's the best way to describe it, but I can't think of a better one. Because even though in the mind of God, based upon what Christ would later do, those sins were in some way dealt with, the full price hadn't been paid in Christ yet. And because of that, there was an ongoing need for a continual cleansing. We in Christ, who have enjoyed the new birth and the cleansing and baptism by Christ's blood of our sins can still every day enjoy day by day this cleansing of his blood as we walk in the light and as we confess our sins. He is faithful and just, John says, to forgive us our sins. What a contrast in those sacrifices over and over, day by day and year by year, with sin and the need for sacrifice always being foremost in the mind as a problem, something to worry about. And now Christ, as the writer of Hebrews puts it, once at the end of the ages, in the sacrifice of himself, took care of all of that and offered himself once. One time. And as we even today took our minds back to the cross, we remembered that one time. And everything we ever need by way of sin's remission was taken care of that one time. It doesn't matter if the sin that you are guilty of and now forgiven of is a sin as bad as those Jews who were guilty of crucifying Jesus, or Saul who persecuted the church. It doesn't matter what your sin is. In Christ, by his blood, the sin can be washed away. Those of us in Christ enjoy that on an ongoing basis. All because of something that happened one time in history and never needed, never needs to be repeated. But then Peter goes on to say that Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust. And there is the idea that he is getting to in the text. These Christians who were suffering, they were justified before God. They were just. But not of themselves, not in themselves, but because of what they had been made to be by Christ and his sacrifice and God with his grace. In the absence of God, in the absence of the Christ who died for them, they never could be seen as just or righteous, because on our own, there's none righteous, no, not one. On our own, we all stand guilty before God and unjustified. But Christ, he is not like that. He has no need of being made just. He is in himself just and righteous and altogether pure. Just as God the Father is altogether pure and holy, so Jesus Christ as God among us, Emmanuel, pure and holy and without sin. And that's one other aspect of his sacrifice, so different than those sacrifices of the bulls and goats and lambs of years gone by. You might notice as you read through the Old Testament texts concerning sacrifice that always reference is made not just to the sacrifice, but the quality of the sacrifice. God always wanted the best. After the people of God had been taken captured and had spent some time in captivity, and God brought them back, and they had found the law again and had it read to them by Ezra, Nehemiah had rebuilt the wall, they started the sacrifices again. 100 years go by, and Malachi writes, and by that time the people of God had languished back into this lethargic worship that had before. And he said what they were doing is they'd offer their lame, their infirm, their crippled, their blemished animals for sacrifice. And even at that, they were saying, oh, what a weariness it is. Well, at the best, the most blemishless animal isn't perfect, and it's still just an animal. You start putting human beings into the mix, and we're all in need of salvation. We aren't perfect in ourselves. But here, once in the end of the ages, Christ comes and lives as one of us. He takes on the form of flesh. He was made in the likeness of men. And here, living among us, he's tempted, Hebrews chapter 4, in all points like as we are. He's just like you and me in the sense that he's tempted like we're tempted. The difference is we succumb to temptation and become sinners. Christ stayed above temptation and never once sinned. So unlike any of us will ever be, Christ was inherently within himself just. And so his sacrifice was one not just of an animal or a human being with frailties and flaws. He was given of God and of himself as sacrifice for us, as one perfect and without blemish, to die for those of us who are so very blemished by sin. That's not fair from his perspective. From ours, no, it's not fair, but it's to our advantage. It's in our favor. The just for the unjust. And why? Well, the text continues to bring us to God, to reconcile us to God once again, because you see, it's because of sin we'd had that breach caused between us and God, that chasm which separated us from the divine. Your sin have hid his face from you, Isaiah will say in the 59th chapter. Your iniquities have caused him not to hear you anymore. But now Christ has come again, once at the end of the ages, giving himself a sacrifice in suffering for us, so that as just for the unjust, he might bring us back, reconcile us back to God. And so, yes, it's very true that this is so very unfair, but in our favor. Regardless what we go through, we're never in a position where we're on the right side of the ledger in any of this. No matter what we face, what we deal with, what we suffer, still God in Christ has done so much more for us than we'll ever do in response or in repayment. But let's turn once again to a song that speaks to this very thing. 259. And before we sing, I'd like for you to read with me together the first verse, because this again is exactly what we're trying to express this evening from the text we've read together. 259, we'll read together the first verse. When this passing world is done, when has sunken yon glaring sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Oh, how much we do owe because of what God in Christ has done for us. Let's sing together 259. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When the praise of heaven I hear, loud as thunders to the ear, loud as many waters' noise, sweet as harp's melodious voice, then, Lord, shall I fully know,
not till then how much I owe. E'en on earth as through a glass, darkly let thy glory pass. Make forgiveness feel so sweet, make thy Spirit's help so meet. In on earth, Lord, make me know something of how much I owe.
No, life is not fair, but that's a good thing. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, enjoy the salvation God in Christ offers. Obey the gospel. Become a Christian. If you're an unfaithful child of God, come back. He is willing and faithful to forgive your sins as you confess them. If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.